Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Amen. Go ahead and put up the first note today. At the stroke of midnight, New Year's Eve, 2024 will have be finished. And some of us is going, thank you, Lord. Others is going, wasn't that bad? But anyway, wherever you're at in that, how many know it'll be done? And how many know for the next few days after that, when you're writing something or signing something in half the day, that you'll probably still put 24? Come on now. I know I do sometimes, and I'm typing out stuff, and it's like 2025 now. And why do we do that? Because 24 is gone. It's going to be 25. But sometimes we like to hang on. But 2024 will be finished. It's not coming back ever again. So you might as well get ready to go into 2025, whether you like it or not. It's coming. Amen? And so how do you know that we have seasons that we're supposed to finish here on the earth? There are a lot of seasons. We finish a season, we're fixing to finish 2024, we'll be entering into a new season of 2025. Hopefully you've got some goals and some vision and some plans for this next year. If you don't, you will probably accomplish what you have a vision for, which is nothing. Every time you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. And the Bible says, where there's no vision, my people perish. So you need to have a vision. What do you want to be? What do you want to accomplish? What does this next year, what do you want it to look like from God's perspective in your life? Do you want to get better and bigger and stronger? Or do you want to get weaker and weaker and just kind of fade away into 25? Do you want to expand your family in 25? Some people are going to, nope. Me either. I'm done. Somebody shout amen there. But how many know Jesus Christ himself, again, the perfect example of everything we do and say, he had seasons to his life. Amen? And when that season was over, he didn't stay there. He moved on. Let me just give you a quick rundown of Jesus' season. How many know Jesus was at and in the creation of the earth? Now, make sure you understand that. Jesus just didn't come on the scene when it was time to be born as a baby. Since God the Father has been, Jesus has been, and the Holy Spirit has been. That's why in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, you hear Jesus or God proclaim, let us. Everybody say us. Who's the us? It can only be Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let us create man in our image, the image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was the active ingredient in creation as much as the Father. So Jesus had a season there to help create the heavens and the earth. Somebody say, he finished that one. That season's over. He don't have to create earth anymore. It's done. And he didn't stay there creating earth. He made each seed to produce after its own kind. And that's another story we'll chase down one day maybe. So Jesus finished creation. And then it was time and a season for Jesus to come into the earth. And he chose to come as a baby. Check that off his list. Been there, done that. Been born into the earth. Been born into flesh. He finished that assignment, being born. And not only was that his assignment to come be born, but the next assignment was that he was going to be a sacrifice for all sin. Somebody say he finished that. Come on, he finished that season. And then he came also during that same period, another season involved in that time of his life, was to reestablish his Father's kingdom on earth as it was in heaven. And all that got accomplished, that season was over when he went to the cross and died at Calvary's cross. Finished. It is finished. That season of me being birthed, walking the earth, redeeming mankind, establishing my Father's kingdom and paying for all sins, finished. Look at your neighbor and say, it's finished. It is finished, but he wasn't finished there. Just because he finished the death, he had another season where he needed to conquer death, what called resurrection. And so when it came for the call for him to get up out of the grave, he answered the call in that season. And he got up, defeated death, hell, and the grave, went into the pits of hell, took the keys to death, hell, and the grave, come back and reestablished that kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Resurrection finished. Amen.
Amen.
So Jesus finished everything he was sent to do while he was on earth. He left nothing incomplete for us to have something he didn't finish that. It's not the finish. It's the finished work of Christ. Finished. That season's over. He has now ascended into his season where he's sitting at the Father's right hand. Amen. And he'll stay in that season until one day God looks over and says, let's go get our kids. And then that season will begin. Come on. Oh, you better not miss that season. Let me just say one more thing about Jesus. It's that season to be finished. That's not finished yet, but it is to be finished. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. So let me ask you this right here. Of all the seasons we've seen just in Jesus' life, who's to say you and I aren't supposed to go through seasons also? Go ahead and put up the next note. How are you going to end this season of 2024? And the reason I ask you, how do you want to end 2024? Because how you go out of one season is how you enter the next. And if you go out of 2024 with all the baggage and the junk and the hurt and the failures and the disappointments, you're going to take those right on into 2025. I don't care how much you try to fake, oh, a new year, happy me. No, new year, same you. Don't carry that junk. Don't carry it to New Year's Eve. Don't carry it past today. Amen. Don't say, so many people are waiting until January 1st to start something new. It's just another day in paradise. Nothing special about it. It is starting a new year, but it's going to come and go just like all the others have. Amen? So how are you going to end this season of 2024? Let me tell you how a lot of people are going to end it. A lot of people... A lot of people are going to end New Year's Eve going into the New Year's drunk and in a drug-stated fest. What a way to go into a new year. Drunk and high. Peeled up, doped up. Many people on that night will end in fornication. Perversion. Sexual perversion. Many will also end the new year with the act of adultery. Drunkenness, drug it, sexual immorality, and we want no blessed. We want to go into 25 blessed. Wow, it's quiet in here. Why did it get so quiet? Did some of y'all have plans? And let me sadly say, I'm talking about the church in an often amount of times. Will be listed right there among this. The very people that's sitting in the house of God today will be at the party New Year's night. And they'll wake up in bed with something besides their spouse. Dear God, help us. See, it's not about New Year's night that this just happens in their life. This is about their lifestyle. This is about a pattern. Most people don't live a really holy life up until that moment and go, I want to have one night to party with. Now, some probably do, but not many. It's about your lifestyle. It's about the seasons you've already established and the habits you've established during these seasons that you're going to walk into a new season. If you're lazy in 2024 and you don't get something under you, a gunction to be more of a workman, you'll be a lazy 2025 person. If you're a go-getter in 2024, there'll be more time in 2025 for you to get things done. You are what your seasons have been, but you don't have to continue the bad seasons going forward.
Amen.
But you got to do something with them, and you got to turn them to Jesus and let him have them. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Now, there's still many people that will enjoy their family and friends that night. They'll be gathered up. Some will be gathered at what we used to call watch services or prayer services. Some people, again, will just be with family and friends. Some people will be alone. Some people will be asleep by 9 o'clock. Come on, where's all my peeps out there? You could care less about watching the ball drop. You just won't see your eyelids close about 9 o'clock. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Nothing wrong with that. Amen. Amen. But going into 2025, I always get kind of, it's kind of humorous to me this time of year with people, and I love to watch it too. What we call New Year's resolutions. Oh my gosh. It ought to be termed New Year's liars. Because the vast majority of people lie to themselves and they lie to everybody else. And let me give you some advice. Don't put it out there on social media for everybody to see you lie and fail. Let me give you the five areas most people bring resolution to or attempt to. Now, you got good intentions, I understand. You got good intentions, man. Fresh start, new season, new year. Man, my year, I'm really going to do it this year. Good intentions. And in the South, we call them fixing to. I'm fixing to do this. I mean, I'm fixing to do this. I'm fixing to get right. I'm fixing to make a difference. The five areas, write them down. Number one is food. I'm going on my diet. Come on. I'm going to cut out sugars. I'm going to cut out carbs. I'm going to go to grazing on out in the yard or something. I don't know. But you're going to get that diet. I mean, this is going to be your year. You already see the beach in June and July. And you see yourself a certain way to get there. And this is the year it's going to happen. And I know it didn't happen last year because you had some circumstances. And it didn't happen the year before that because of some certain areas. And it's never happened in your life yet, but this is your year. Tell yourself that. And if anybody belong to a gym membership in here, raise your hand if you belong to an exercise place. Don't you love first week into January? You can't even get to a machine or a weight. All the new people in there, which brings me to my, not let me, I got these in order. So the next one is family. Man, this is a year, my family, we're going to go on vacation, we're going to do this, I'm going to spend more time with my husband, I'm going to spend more time with my wife, we're going to make time for the kids, we're really going to do a lot of this, we're going to do this. No, we got plans for our family. Oh, me. And then this next one is, the next one we make along with food, I should have had it second, but go ahead. Fitness. I'm fixing to get in shape. Well, I'm telling you that has worked for me because round is a shape. Thank you. You're welcome. I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to run a marathon this summer. Jesus. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to spend more time with my family. Come on, y'all. And again, if you go into your little exercise place and you can't get to a machine the first couple of weeks, everybody's in there getting it on there, man. Baby, they in there. But how many gym goers wave at me, and by about end of January, 1st of February, your machines are all open again. Because they ain't there no more. They come to the realization that 3 weeks is not going to change their body. So they quit. Amen? They diet for 3 weeks. They exercise. All they got was sore and hungry. Come on now. So the heck with it. I'm going to go back to eating. I'm going to go back to not going to this. Oh, my goodness. And we love y'all. We do. We get tickled at you. But here's the thing. You'll post all this on your social media, and then within a month, your witness is ruined. Because you didn't live up to what you said you was going to do. And then the last two, finances. Oh, I'm going to get my finances in order. No more stupid spending. Amazon's got a what sale? Oh, I got to have that. And I know my wife's looking at me right now, but the last Amazon box came in had, no, it was Sheen, had your name on it. And then she pulls this right here. Do you not remember ordering this for us for Christmas? I'm like, no, show me what else I forgot I ordered you. Amazing. Apparently, I bought all of them something. I don't know, but she says I did, so I believe her. But we're going to get our finances in order. This is the year. Honey, we're even going to start tithing to God. Careful what you say. And the last ones, keeping with the F's, are our faith. I'm getting so close to God this year that the anointing is going to be all over me. When I go to work, people are going to get saved. I'm going to be in God's Word. I'm going to witness more. I'm going to serve more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to worship more. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. Lord, here I come. Get ready. And it's amazing. We go back to eating the same foods. We don't have time for our family. We don't get ourselves in shape. We let our finances continue to slack, and faith just slides right out with it. Now, I want you to notice that list. I want you to leave it up there just for a minute. These are the five areas the enemy wants to attack you the most. Now, look at that list. If I was the devil, this is where I would attack every single person. I would want you to eat unhealthy. That way, you'll be unhealthy. I wouldn't want you to get strict on a diet that's good for you. And I mean, you can have everything in moderation. Amen? You can have that piece of cake every once in a while, just not the whole thing. I'm speaking from experience. Okay? And you don't have to have it every single time you eat. Things in portions. So I would want you to eat just as horrible as you can eat, where you'll feel as bad as you can feel in the flesh. Absolutely. And then I would want you too busy at work, too busy with friends, too busy with kids, too busy with whatever to really pay attention to your family and your spouse. I would really love for you to be that way. I'd attack you there. And then in your fitness, I would make sure you didn't have, or I would make sure you think you don't have time to do any kind of fitness to where you wouldn't be fit for the race of endurance. And I absolutely would attack your finances. I would make sure everything tore up, you were cursed because you wasn't obeying the Bible. I'd make sure that you overspent every dime you got, that you had nothing in savings, that you had no plan for your finances. I'd make sure you didn't even plan for this next year. You just keep living paycheck to paycheck. And I absolutely would make sure that you don't rise up in your faith any more than what you already are. I would tell you you're good enough where you're at. There's nothing else for you. Just stay there or go lower. That when something went wrong and you didn't get your way, you just pitch a fit on God and blame Him. And unfortunately, we say all this good stuff, but unfortunately, the devil is going to attack your diet and your food. The devil is going to attack your time for your family. I promise you this is in 25. The devil is going to attack you in your fitness if you allow him. The devil is going to attack your finances if you allow him. And he will absolutely attack you in the level of faith you want to go to if you allow him. But listen to me. I'm here to tell you this morning, I got some good news. If you don't allow him, he can't touch any of that. He has no authority to come at you in any of these areas and it work unless you allow it, agree it. He doesn't force feed you anything. He didn't make you eat like that. You chose to. He doesn't make you spend your day away from your family. You choose to. Outside of work, you choose to. He doesn't make you not get fit and do a little exercises, whether at home or in a gym or wherever. We choose to say we can't. He doesn't make us get our finances in order. We choose to just continue right on like it is. Matter of fact, sometimes we choose to add more debt on top of debt. And we choose how much time we spend with God, His Word, praise, worship, honor, glory, serving. We get to choose our 2025, y'all. And if you ain't had these things in a good way in your 2024, you better lose some things if you want a great 25. Can I have a better amen there?
Amen.
Amen. Again, people start off strong on January 1st. They're in the gym. They eat a healthy meal. They go home and have some quality time. Amen? I mean, they look at their finances that night and say, okay, I'm not going to buy this today, even if it's on sale. I just come out of Christmas. I'm not doing that. But in a few weeks, it's like we slide right back into our old 24 self. And it's all because we have a lack of or we lose our self-discipline. Everybody say self-discipline. That's where it all hinges, self-discipline. God, Lord, help me eat healthy. Poof. There you go. Eat healthy. Let me give you, anybody want a prophetic word for 2024? Yeah. Thus saith the Lord, eat healthy. There you go. That's the Lord's will. It's the Lord's will for us to be healthy. Thessalonians said, I would that you would prosper and be in good health above all things. That's in the Bible. That's a prophetic word of God. It's the will of God. But guess who gets to choose? We do. Amen? He wants you to be fit. Run the race with endurance. Guess who gets to choose if we're fit? We do. Guess who gets to choose if we go up in our faith? We do. We get to choose because we've got an awesome God that doesn't make us do anything. We get to do things. It's all called self-discipline. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and say it with me, self-discipline. I may have given them the wrong scripture. Probably did. Power, love, and self-discipline. Other translations say a sound mind. Other translations say self-control. All the same thing. It is about self-control. You've got the power and love, but if you don't use no self-discipline and self-control, you'll blow it. I've blown it several times. Come on now. There it is. What is it? 2 Timothy 1:7. Okay, I put 1 Timothy 1:7. There we go. Power, love, and self-control, which means God's already done his part to bless you in all five of those areas. Now you got to be self-disciplined and self-control to make it happen on your end. Yeah. Are you with me?
Yes.
See, the enemy knows. Everybody say the enemy knows. The enemy knows. If you get your food, family, fitness, finances, and faith and kingdom alignment, he cannot stop you. He cannot curse you. He cannot put you down. That's why he fights in those five areas to make sure you keep under his thumb. And you lose. And you give up. And you don't have no self-discipline. You don't have no self-control. You have not become a man or woman of God until you can operate in self-discipline and self-control. You are saved. But to be the man of God and the woman of God, you have to operate in power. And you have to operate in love. And everybody likes that. I like to speak the name of Jesus and have power. I like the love of God in me. But all that is operated through self-discipline. Self-control. Amen? Oh, I know this ain't the message you come for. But it's the message you're getting today. Amen? Because I don't want you to go into 24 like you, or 25 like you finish in 24 sometimes. Amen? Now put up the next note. When we talk about finishing, we often talk about somebody at the end of their life, at the end of an old age. Age has nothing to do with it. Look at me. We're all dying.
Amen. That's right.
You're a day closer than you were yesterday to death. Amen. And tomorrow, if you're lucky enough to be here tomorrow, you'll be a day closer tomorrow. So it has nothing to do with finishing as far as age. It has finishing to do with, am I in a season that I'm coming out of and going into a different season? And yes, we're in a season celebrating this. Now, let me just say this right here. It is about leaving the season behind and going into a new one, whether it's been a good or a bad season. Now, especially if it's been a bad season, leave it behind. If it's been a good season, a good 2024, listen to me, leave that behind too. Why? It's been good. Because good is the enemy of great, and if you settle there and just operate in that, God's got so much more for you in 25. If you'll pay attention and not settle for the good, but go after the great. Great is his faithfulness. He's new every morning. That's scripture, by the way, in case you didn't know that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's see if I got this one right. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and 8. Paul says here, he says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Now, this is the end of his life. And in verse 7, he says, I have fought a good what?
Fight.
I've fought a good fight. I have finished the what? The race, and I have kept the... Now leave that up there. This is the Apostle Paul encouraging Timothy here. I've fought a good fight. I've run the race, and I've kept the faith. Look at those three areas. He's had to fight. He's been in a race, and he's kept his faith. Guys, every one of us is going to have that as long as we're on planet Earth. We will have to fight for the things. We have to fight not to eat everything we see. We have to fight for time with our family. We got to fight. We have to fight to not buy everything we want and get ourselves in more debt. We have to fight sometimes to stay focused in and on the Word of God. Why? Because this is where the enemy wants to attack you in those areas, to keep you from being everything God called you to be, especially in this new season we're coming in. But he says, I've fought the fight, I've finished the race, I've kept my faith. Now watch this, at the end of it, he says, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, now watch this, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. In other words, there ain't nothing special about him that God doesn't see in you. And he says, if I can get it, you can get it. But you'll have to fight your fight, you'll have to run your race, and you'll have to keep the faith. There's no difference between them and us. Matter of fact, we've got an advantage. We've got the New Testament now to give us a witness of this.
Whew.
Somebody say, that's good. Thank you, Jesus. But that was them. This is me. And this is the excuse. Put up excuse number one. The next note. Everybody say, but. But I just feel like I can't do it. I mean, I want to do all those things with those food and finances and faith and family and man. I want to, but I just feel like I can't really commit to that. And that's your problem. You're operating on your feelings.
Amen.
Feel. Everybody say feel.
Feel.
Listen to me. If you don't hear nothing else, I say you cannot trust your feelings. Because the enemy has access to your feelings.
That's right.
And he'll tell you, yeah, you're going to start off, but you can't stay in that. You won't stay on that diet. You won't stay at the gym. You won't stay coming home every day, seeing your family. You won't commit to that finances. You know you've been waiting on this right here to go on sale. You're going to buy it as soon as it does. Come on. You know you're not going to. Don't even start the Bible in a year. You know you've never finished it. And if you listen to your feelings, you'll talk yourself out of your self-discipline, out of self-control, and you'll be under the control of the enemy again.
Right.
Happens all the time. It's in your faith in Jesus Christ that gets you above your feelings. If you know him, and if you know his word, you can get past those feelings. But you got to get past those feelings with him in the word in self-discipline to make it happen. It's nobody else's responsibility but yours. Let me say that again. Let me say it this much over here. It's nobody else's responsibility but yours to make it happen. Touch your neighbor and say he's talking to you. And then we look at the word in that, I just feel like I can't. The word I can't. And you're right. You absolutely cannot. There's no way you can do it. You will not stay in the gym. You will not come home to the family. You will not get your finances in order. You will not be faithful in things of God. You will not in your own strength.
That's right.
It's no way possible any of us can do this in our own strength. But thank God we're not in our own strength.
Yes.
Thank God we don't have to be alone.
Amen.
Thank God we've got access to the power of the Holy Spirit who's alive and living inside of every born-again believer. Thank God for that. Turn to your neighbor and say, with God, I can. All things are possible to those who love the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's scripture after scripture after scripture. Go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. It says this, for every child of God defeats this evil world. Oh, don't get excited. See right there, the enemy's done attacking some of y'all. Well, not me. Not me. I mean, I believe in Jesus, but I know I hadn't been living in it like I should. And I know, and that's why all this bad stuff's happening to me. You are being suckered by the enemy. Everything bad to happen to you is not because you've been unfaithful. It's because you've been stupid. I love you, stupid. Because you've been in a stupid mindset. You've been in an unbelieving, unfaithful mindset. And you think now that you're there and that's the only place you can stay. And God's going to punish you for that. It's not God punishing you. It's your own bad mistakes. God's waiting to bring you out of that. But if you listen to the enemy, you're going to stay in it. You're more than worthy to come to Christ. No matter how low you've sunk, no matter how many times you've disappointed him, Daddy always stands there with open arms. Amen. Come home, son. Come home, daughter. I'm waiting for you. Amen? Let me read that to you again. Out of the Word of God says, for every child of God defeats the evil world. Every child of God. The abilities in you, the abilities to you, you got to exercise and get it through you now, through self-discipline and self-control. Amen. Let me finish that verse up. For every child of God defeats the evil world. And we have achieved this victory through what? Our faith. It's nothing that we do on our own. It's nothing that we've accomplished in our own self. It's through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way any of us are going to make it. With success, anyway. Every child of God has the ability to have the same faith in Jesus Christ. But you've got to exercise that discipline. And some people say, well, I don't understand. I pray 3 hours, and this joker over here don't even hardly pray 3 minutes. His 3 minutes reels, your 3 hours is religion. You're welcome. See, you think you're trying to impress God with your behavior. God's not impressed by our behavior. He's impressed by our obedience.
Yes, yes, hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah, you can clap for that.
Hallelujah.
That's why you can take a 3-minute prayer that'll outweigh a 3-hour prayer any day of the week. It's a matter of the heart.
That's right.
Again, it's religious versus kingdom. Oh, don't get me started there. I'll run a tangent. All right, let me keep going now. Let me back up again. For every child of God defeats the evil world, and we achieve the victory through our faith. Verse 5 says this, and who can win this battle against the world? Let's rephrase this. Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It's the only way. Now, you can self-discipline yourself without God to do a diet for a while. And then that's why you go back to eating unhealthy again, because God factor leaves. Anytime the God factor leaves, we get undisciplined. I mean, it's the truth, whether you like it or not.
Yep.
Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Are you a believer this morning?
Yes.
How many believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Raise your hand without a shame on it.
Hallelujah.
Then the world has to bow to you.
The world has to bow to you.
You don't bow to the world.
Amen.
You understand that? You don't bow to this world. The world bows to you. But not in pride and arrogance. Don't get that in you. But it bows to you because you're bowed to the Father.
That's right.
Well. And then here's the second excuse. Go ahead and put that up. But you don't understand. I'm facing some things that seem impossible right now. I mean, I've got sickness and affliction. I'm dealing with mental stress and anxiety and fear. I'm dealing with all this stuff. I'm dealing with a broken family. I'm dealing with broken finances. I'm dealing with a broken down body. I'm dealing with my faith has just waned in these times. And I. Well, what's the cause of it? What's going on? And here's the famous words that my kids and we have all said as kids and even as adults. I don't know. I don't know. What do you think? Well, I don't know. Let me tell you like I tell my kids, I don't know is not an answer. Give me something.
Amen.
And we know. We just don't want to confess it. We know because we know. But if we tell it out loud, it's going to make us look like we're responsible for our own actions. So it's easier to say, I don't know what the problem is. Yes, you do. It is your lack of discipline. It's a lack of self-control that leads you to make these mistakes. It's a lack of not being a man of God or a woman of God. I love y'all. Thank you. It's good to be loved. But you don't understand what I'm facing. And you don't know what I face. Some of you, I do know everything you're facing because you post it all. Everybody knows everything about you because you post everything. You don't have to have a clue what I'm going through. You want to know why? Because I don't post it. Why don't you post it? Why would I want to? I don't have to have attention from people. I've got a God that loves me. I got a God that I can go to and get encouragement. He's given me a whole word of God that I can go to and find wise counsel. And if I do need help, I've got certain men that I know I can call and they'll pray for me. But other than that, it ain't none of your business. Amen? Some of y'all need to take that advice. But I'm facing the impossible. Everybody say impossible. How many has been in some of those impossible situations in your life? Come on, raise your hand. Over your finances, over your health, over your marriage, over your kids, over your faith, over all the stuff we talked about this morning. It just seems like it's impossible. It seems like when you do get a little bit ahead, something just, bam, comes and slaps you back a couple of steps. Come on. Can I give you some word of God? Can I give you some of the words of Jesus? Written in red. Everybody say the good stuff. In Luke chapter 18, part of 20, verse 27 says this, what appears humanly impossible is more than possible with God, for God can do what man cannot do. Don't get excited. Don't get up and praise the Lord on that. Just sit there and look at that and go, I know that's the word of God, but it's not for me. It is for you. See, that spirit of stupid got on you again. I'm telling you, the spirit of stupid must leave the church this season. I'm serious. It is a spirit of stupid. Now, y'all know the difference between ignorance and stupid. Some of you have been new here and you haven't heard me. Ignorance is not a bad word. Ignorance is when you don't have experience or you've not yet come to the knowledge of something. Again, I am ignorant in doing brain surgery. But it would make you stupid to ask me to do it. Because you know I don't have the knowledge. I'll give it a shot. Stupid is when you know, but you still don't make the right choice. So when you know this is the word of God, and as a child of God, this word is for you, but you let that go by, not ignore it, just pass it by like it means nothing to you, that's stupid. Because you know the word of God does not lie. So when Jesus Christ himself says, whatever seems impossible is more than possible with God, because God can do everything that man cannot do, you ought to get excited in your spirit, man, and say, that's for me. That's for the things I'm facing. That's for the things I'm trying to come out of. That's for the things I'm trying to overcome. That's for the things I'm trying to leave behind in 24 and conquer in 25. That's my verse. That's mine. God died for us to have that verse. And how dare us live beneath the privilege of it? Whew. Final scripture, come on. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 and 58. But we thank God for giving us the victory as conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. We thank God for giving us what? Now, when do you do that? When should that take place in your life? Absolutely right now. You ought to be thanking God for the victory right now. Before you ever see it? Yep. One of the 9 words for praise is to give God a shout of praise and thanks before you ever see a result. I don't remember if it's yada. I know shabak is to shout. I think it's yada, to give God a praise before you ever see it in answered prayer. Now the Bible says, we thank God for giving us the victory as conquerors through the Lord Jesus, the anointed one of God. When should this take place? How many says when you get the victory? How many of you know that's what you want to say? Come on, a few real people. But how many of you are so schooled and educated in the Word of God, you know that means now? Come on, how many know it means now? What are you doing? What are you doing right now then? I'm waiting for you to end the service where I can go home and eat with some family. And this is why you're not walking in victory. James tells us in 1:22, be ye not just hearers of the word, but be also doers of the word. If you want what the word promises, you got to do what the word says do. We thank God for giving us victory as conquerors through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. They're not going to get it, Lord. I don't think they're really going to get it. I think they're trying to get it now, Lord, but I think some of them just, yow! I want you to stand up just for a minute. I think God deserves a standing ovation. I think He deserves our best. I don't think He deserves a lazy church, a lazy response, an apathetic response. I think He enjoys the praise and the adorations of His name coming out of our mouths, off our heads, off our feet, out of our hearts, and out of our minds in Jesus' name. Now stay standing. Stay standing, because I want to put up verse 58 now. Go ahead. So now, beloved ones, stand firm, stable, and enduring. Live your lives with unshakable, say it with me, confidence. And then it goes on and says, we know that we prosper and we excel in what? Right there it is. We excel in every season of our lives. That means the good seasons. That means the bad seasons. That means the mediocre seasons. That means the out to the left and out to the right seasons. It doesn't matter where you're at. You're to excel. When life's throwing everything at you, you excel. When Satan's coming against your food, your finances, and your family, and your faith, you still excel. You fight the fight. You don't lay down on a race. You finish the race and you keep your faith. And there's laid up a crown of righteousness to all who believe in Jesus Christ. Is it going to be tough sometimes? Yes. If you ever got the idea that it wasn't, I don't know who sold you that bill, but you've been deceived somewhere. But you don't live in it. You live through it and above it. Can I have a better amen there? Let me read this one more time. Stand firm and secure. Live your lives with unshakable confidence. I love that. We know that we prosper and excel in every season by serving the Lord. There's where a lot of people get stumped. Oh, I want to excel in that season, Lord. Then you got to serve the Lord in that season. You got to serve your marriage. You got to serve your finances. You got to serve your faith. You got to serve everything you want to go on. You got to serve in it somehow. And again, lack of discipline and self-control pulls you away from that. Every season by serving the Lord, because we are assured that our union with the Lord makes our labor productive with fruit that endures. Woo! That it may not seem like anything good is being produced. It may not feel like there's no fruit coming forth at some times. But when you stay faithful and you just keep on one foot in front of the other going toward the Lord, you let Him worry about what's digging up the fruit and the harvest back here. You just keep planting the seeds and don't look back. Don't look back. Don't look back into 24. Don't look back into 23. Some of y'all, you don't even need to look back to 2020. But you live in there. And you've drugged old dead fruit from 2020 all the way into right now. And you're still hanging on to that garbage. And garbage stinks. If you want a fresh smell going into the new year, you better get rid of the garbage. It's time to take it out in the name of Jesus. Can I have a better amen? Amen. Just bow your heads this morning. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, I would not finish the year without surrendering my heart to Jesus Christ. I mean, you can, but man, I wouldn't want to waste a day. So if you're here and you've never accepted Christ, this is the way we offer it. No church membership today, no religion today. Just you're accepting the blood of Jesus, washing your sins away, because you can't wash your own sins away, and you can't be good enough in your own thing to ever come to Christ. You have to surrender your life to Christ, accept that He paid for your sins, and that He wants to come into your heart and live forever and be your Lord and your Savior. And if you're ready to make that commitment to Him today, just throw up your hand and say, "Today's my day." Anyone? Maybe if you're watching online, let us know. But how many would say to me today, "I don't want to live an undisciplined and uncontrolled life where I've got all these good intentions with God and my family, even myself. But Lord, I want to be a man of my word. I want to be a woman of the word. That when I say something's going to happen, I'm going to have a lifestyle that backs it up. And I know I'm going to be challenged in my New Year's resolutions or whatever you want to call them. But I'm equipping myself today for the challenge. I'm equipping myself today to live up to the challenge. To say no to the undisciplined life. No more to undisciplined. That means I'm going to have to change some mindsets, some time, some effort, and some priorities. Something's going to have to be let go where the great can come in place of even the good. And if you're ready to make a commitment to that today, I just want you to lift your hand up going into this season. Everybody say, "The new wine's better anyway." The new wine is better, but you can't put it in an old wineskin. Because in the old wineskin, there's no room for expansion. And the Bible says when you put new wine in an old wineskin, it begins to expand. And because the old wineskin is so rigid in its old ways, it can't change, it can't redo something, it can't reprioritize itself, that it actually bursts the skin. And now the new wine and the old skin's nothing's any good anymore. And my family here, I want to tell you, I don't want to see that happen to you in 2025. That's why I want you just to make a prayer of commitment today to be a new wineskin in 2025, to be fresh fruit, to be willing to be flexible and let God make the changes He wants to make into your life, your family, your marriage, finances, faith, fitness, whatever it may be. And you may have a little setback every once in a while because it's hard to break old habits. But when you do, you get with somebody, preferably before it happens. You reach out and say, "I'm getting weak right here." And they'll pray with you. And it'll sustain you through that time. And I want to leave you with this thought right here. And I don't remember who it was studying it. Stephen Covey or some of those guru guys. Said if you could make it 29 days with a discipline, it becomes a habit. 29 days of self-control and self-discipline usually will end up becoming a habit that you don't have to struggle with that much anymore. 29 days. And that's why I want to announce next Sunday, we're going to start a 21-day fast. As you leave today, go ahead and look up. As you leave today, there'll be a piece of paper out there, front and back. Please pick it up, even if you don't think you want to do it. And it's just a brief overlay because I'm not going to take time to go through it. What is fasting, the different types of fast, when to fast, kind of how to fast. It's just kind of a quick bullet point outline. And I want you to take this and I want you to pray this next week. Lord, are you calling me to a fast? Are you calling me to this fast? Because it will take self-discipline and self-control to make it happen. It's giving up something to grow your relationship with God. And then even in here, I'm going to tell you, and I tell you in here, don't do it unless you want to get closer to God. There's no sense in fasting. You just go hungry. That's dumb. Going hungry without a benefit's not smart. But giving up something and going after God is very smart. So that'll be out there. Make that self available to you. So let's pray our way out of here today. And let's get ready, because I've got a word of the Lord that I'm going to release next Sunday for the first Sunday of the year. And I've gotten this word about 3 months ago, and it's been stirring in me ever since. So, Father, we thank you, God, that you do release words and times and seasons into our life. If we just pay attention, if we just pay some spiritual attention, we see what you're doing, God. And when we begin to see that God has not forsaken us, God has not forgot about us, but that we begin to see on purpose what he's doing, the church gets excited again. Our marriages get stronger. Our finances come into order. Our faith begins to be built. And it's all because we become self-disciplined and self-controlled to pay attention that God's doing things. Even when we don't think he's doing anything, he's more than enough. So, Father, I pray that this church will take this sheet of paper home and they'll ask God, not me, not anybody else, Lord, is this something you're calling us to? And if he is, I want you to be faithful for those 21 days. And I want you to get into that and see what God does, not just to you, but through us as a corporate body. So, Lord, I thank you that you're calling us to this fast. And we're going to start next Sunday, Lord. 3 weeks for God to make a difference so that our life will make an eternal difference. Say this with me. Say, Father, I love you, and I bless you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.